One of the things that I've always been fascinated with in life are trees. When we look around at trees around us, we see their different personalities, their different colors, how they're made so differently from your evergreens with their needles to the leafy trees that we see all around us changing color this time of year. And I always marvel at God's creativity in them and how everyone is different. There's no two alike, although there might be several species that are alike. There's no two trees that are alike. And as I pondered this a little bit, thinking about the scripture this morning, I thought about this poem by Joyce Kilmer. I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree. A tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the sweet earth's flowing breast. A tree that looks at God all day and lifts her leafy arms to pray. A tree that may in summer wear a nest of robins in her hair, upon whose bosom snow has lain, who intimately lives with rain. Poems are made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree. And I thought about this a little bit, about how a tree is connected to the earth, but that it looks to God all day long in its life, and how it bears the seasons, and how it's just so majestic. And though there are many great things on the earth, there's nothing like a tree to reveal God's power and glory. Have you ever wondered why trees are different? Have you ever really sat and pondered that, why trees are different or why they change color? I was looking at the leaves the other day and I marveled at their design, about how some of the leaves, like I was saying earlier, are palmate, like a maple tree. They have veins that go out in various directions. And then there are pinnate leaves, like the hickory or the oak, where they have one stem up through the middle and little side things that come off of them, and how they were designed by our great creator, God. When we consider all the worlds that God has made, we come to one conclusion: how great thou art. The basis of our faith as Christians in United Methodist is based on God's greatness. As we talked last week, he is the Lord God Almighty. He's the self-existent God that exists outside of anything else. He always was, he is, and he always will be self-existent. He doesn't rely on anything else to exist. But yet when we start to think of him in that way, in his greatness and his divine power and glory, we still have to come back to understand that his name means that he's personal, that he's a God who we can talk to, and a God who cares about us, and a God that we can have relationships with, that he's all-powerful, omnipotent, having all authority and power, all authority and power, that he's all-knowing, omniscient, that he knows everything, he always has and he always will, and that he's all-present in all places at all times. We start to understand this God that we believe, this God, our Father Almighty, but also who's the maker of heaven and earth. We believe these things about God because this is who he says he is. When he said to Abraham, when he was Abram, he said, "Walk with me and be holy. I'm the Lord God Almighty." But we complete what we believe about God by stating that we believe he's the creator or the maker of heaven and earth. In the Nicene Creed, he's also the maker of all that is seen and unseen. This is a great debate in the very early days of Christianity. Who is this God that we worship? This Jehovah God, this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Who is he? Let's define him so that we can define who the God is that we worship, separate from all the other gods in the other religions. So not only is he God the Father Almighty, but he is the creator of all that is seen and unseen. You know, we ask the question, where did we come from? Where did all this come from? Well, the tree came from a seed that came from another tree that came from a seed. And somewhere along the line, as we go back on and on and on back, we find out there was a time when there was nothing, and something had to be brought into existence for everything else to come from that. Scientists are looking at the skies astronomers are looking at the skies with these big telescopes, trying to look back in time per se. It boggles the mind to think of how they do that with the light from the stars, and they're trying to look back in time. And many scientists will agree that in the beginning of time, things were sort of at one point, that everything came from one point, and they're trying to say that then there was a big bang. Well, I'm not going to debate that this morning. That's a sermon for another day, although I will talk about that a little bit. But yet, there was something in the beginning when there was nothing that started everything into motion, and his name is God. And we say that he's the maker of all that is seen and unseen. That's a big, pretty big statement. How do we prove that? Why would one believe that? Our world's pretty complicated. But our understanding of our Creator God begins in the opening pages of the Bible. In the beginning, God. This word God in the ancient text was Elohim. And it implied a plurality of some sort, that the best that the people could describe a certain plurality about God. This set up the basis of our understanding of the Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that there was more to God than just God the Father, that there was God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And John, in his gospel, emphasizes about Jesus: in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Everything that's been created was created by him. Nothing was created that was not created by him. Say, in the beginning, this God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. So God, in the very beginning, brought about all that is, the heavens and the earth. And this word created here is in the Hebrew bara, which is different than making something from things that already exist. This word bara in the Hebrew implied that God made everything that is out of nothing. In theological terms, it's called ex nihilo. Out of nothing, God created all that is. Now that's impossible, isn't it? You have to have something to create something else. Well, not according to our word of God here. The earth was formless and empty, or void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Well, now we have God and we have a Spirit, okay, which backs up what we just said. The earth was formless and empty. In other words, it was worthless. Not that it was without form, because when we go on here in a little bit, we're going to find out all of a sudden there's land, but it doesn't tell us God formed the land. So the earth was useless and it was empty and it was dark and there was water somewhere, so to speak. Okay? But God had a purpose for all this when he created it. So he said, let there be light, so that there would not be darkness. We know that God is light, in him is no darkness at all. He saw the light, that it was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. And he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Now, let's stop here for a little bit, because here's a lot of debate that's going on today, that God created things in periods of time, that things unfolded in periods of time. And this word day in the ancient languages could possibly mean that. But when we look, that there was evening and there was morning, the first day. All right, there was not a 24-hour period here, because things weren't set in motion and the sun and the moon hadn't been created yet. Are you with me? And you see, that's what dictates our morning and evening. But he created the light and the darkness. He called the light day and the darkness night. The word light in these ancient languages means like a warmth, or a power, so to speak, and the darkness is a coldness or confusion. So God then said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate the water from water. So God made the expanse, separated the water under it from the water above it. In other words, God made the sky. Okay? And it was so, and God called the expanse sky, and there was evening, there was morning the second day. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let the ground appear. So all of a sudden on the earth that was covered with water, God's separating, and he's moving, and he's purposely changing things and forming things in the way he wants. So he lets the dry ground appear, the water takes its place, and God called the dry ground land and gathered the waters that he called seas. And then he said, now I want you to listen to this. Then he said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kind. There was evening and morning the third day. Now, I got to stop there for a minute. I do not have enough time for this morning. This was not something that started from, as I heard recently, meteors and things that took place on stars when they were forming, and gases in the universe that all of a sudden exploded and all that they were in existence. It's impossible for these things to happen. But scientists give the credit to these kind of things happening in space. That's not what our Bible tells us. God formed the heavens and the earth was worthless and empty and dark, and he brought light to the earth. He brought sky to the earth. He separated the waters and brought ground, and he said, now, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Which came first, the tree or the seed? The tree came first. The chicken came first. God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees that bear fruit. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plant bearing seed, according to their kind. This isn't something that evolved from a tiny little speck of something that happened in the universe millions and millions of years ago. God deliberately did this, see, and planted, so to speak, with his divine hand, the earth with plants. And then he said, let there be lights. Now there's sun. Now there's moon. He made two great lights, the greater to govern the day and the lesser to govern the night. He takes light and he brings them together in these masses, see. And he also made the stars and set them in the expanse of the sky. And then God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing, which is in the water teams, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Now, again, let's understand. This did not start as a gel in a swamp somewhere, and over millions of years change and evolve. Understand, I believe in evolution. Microevolution, in the sense that plants and animals are not the same as they were thousands of years ago. Dogs are not the same as they were thousands of years. They've changed, okay? But dogs are still dogs, humans are still humans, apes are still apes. According to the kinds, God created them. And when you check the genetics of them, they don't cross, you see. God said, let the water teem with living creatures. Let birds fly above the earth. He created the creatures of the sea and every winged bird according to its kind. He created them out of nothing. He blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase. He said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made them according to their kinds, livestock according to their kinds, creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds, and he saw that it was good. So here is all creation, created by God out of nothing. It does not say that God took this and made this and this and made this. He made them out of nothing. They did not exist until God spoke and said, let it be. And it says that it was so. All right? Now, that's something that no human being can do. And in an effort to dismiss God's creative power, again and again and again, we're being presented with all kinds of ideas and hypotheses about how the world began. Maybe in a bang, or maybe in a mud hole somewhere in a swamp, and things evolved into what is today. When I was in chemistry class, I soon learned that in the laws of thermodynamics, that things do not become more complex as energy is given off. They become more jumbled. And I sat in class thinking to myself, then there's no way evolution is possible. Because, and there's no way, in my opinion, that the Big Bang can be possible, because if there was and the energy was given off, things don't become more complex, they become more messed up. Gee, maybe that's why our society's like it is today. But things do not become more complex as living organisms. That's not the way it works. Scientists say one thing and they say another. The Bible tells us about God's creative power. So everything's created by God out of nothing. And then God says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the livestock, over all the earth, and all the creatures that move along the ground. Let us make man. Who's the us? It's not the angels. The angels didn't create. Remember Elohim, the plurality of that name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's make man in our own image. And that's a sermon for another day as to what that means. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them and blessed them. From the dust of the ground, the Bible tells us that God reached down into the soil and he breathed life into the man as he formed the man out of the dust of the earth. We see God's work of fashioning things with a purpose, to glorify God in his creative power, to reveal his creative power to all humanity so that humanity might believe in him. In Isaiah, the writer in 45:18 says, this is what the Lord says, he who created the heavens, he is God. He who fashioned and made the earth, he founded it. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. You know, again, if you are in chemistry class ever, you learn about the divine design of things, how in the periodic table of elements, there are metals and nonmetals, there are gases, and we use them to form chemical equations. So how those things are put together, they form certain things. And we see how God used these things to design divinely the heavens and the earth. He describes the complexity of his work when he came to Job. If we remember Job's struggle with God and how Job's friends came to Job and tried to comfort him, and in all reality, they disturbed him. And when finally God spoke to Job, he says, who is this that darkens my counsel with words without wisdom? Brace yourself like a man. I'll question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. This is God speaking to Job. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Who shut up the sea behind the doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds in its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I put its windows for it and set its doors and bars in place? When I said, this far you may come and no farther? Here is where your proud waves halt. Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place, that it may take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it? The earth takes shape like clay under a seal. Its features stand out like those of a garment. The wicked are denied their light, and their upraised arm is broken. Have you journeyed to the springs of the sea or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been shown to you? Have you seen the gates of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the vast expanse of the earth?
tell me if you know all this. What's the way to the abode of light? Where does darkness reside? Can you take them to their places? Do you know the paths to their gods? Surely you know, for you were already born. You've lived so many years. Have you entered the storehouses of snow or seen the storehouses of the hail, which I reserve for times of trouble, for days of war and battle? What is the way to the place where the lightning is dispersed, or the place where the east winds are scattered over the earth? Who cuts a channel for the torrents of rain, and a path through the thunderstorm to water a land where no man lives, a desert with no one in it? Does the rain have a father? Who fathers the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice? Who gives birth to the frost in the heavens, when the waters become hard as stone, when the surface of the deep is frozen? Can you bind the beautiful Pleiades? That's a constellation. Can you loose the cords of Orion? Can you bring forth the constellations of their seasons, or lead out the bear with its cubs? Do you know the laws of the heavens? Can you set up God's dominion over the earth? Can you raise your voice to the clouds and cover yourself with a flood of water? Do you send lightning bolts on their way? Do they report to you, here we are? Who endowed the heart with wisdom or gave understanding to the mind? Who has the wisdom to count the clouds? Who can tip over the water jars of the heavens when the dust becomes hard? Do you hunt the prey for the lioness and satisfy the hunger of the lions? When they crouch in their dens or when they lie in a thicket, who provides food for the ravens when its young cry out to God and wonder about the lack of food? Do you know when the mountain goats give birth? Do you watch when the doe bears her fawn? Do you count the months till they bear? Do you know the time they give birth? And on and on. God goes with Job. You see, God lays out and describes the complexity and the creativity of his divine design. Paul brought this to the attention of those in Athens when he was in Athens, Greece, and he came up to the philosophers there, the Epicureans, the Stoic philosophers. He looked around Athens and he saw all these statues and monuments to gods, and even one that said to an unknown god. So he stands up and he said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you're very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription to an unknown god. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. He's not served by human hands, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. And God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him." Paul is explaining to them and introducing them to this great God who created the heavens and the earth that we believe in, our great God, the Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. We are beneficiaries of all that God has created. From where did it come? It didn't come from an impersonal bang. It didn't come over thousands of years of evolution evolving into me, into you, into what we have today. It came from a person, Jehovah, our personal self-existent God. How God did this, precisely how he did it, is up to God. And we can spend our days and our hours debating and arguing and searching and looking and nitpicking. In fact, we can even discredit our faith because the Bible doesn't tell us how God did all this specifically and precisely. And we want to know. That's God's business, but it does tell us that God created the heavens and the earth for the purpose of his glory. Our Lord, the God Almighty, is the God that Paul spoke about, that the Hebrews worshiped, that displayed his glory in creation. Our God is the creator, and by his authority, his knowledge, and his presence, he made all that is seen and unseen, and we're beneficiaries of that creation. So the next time you look at a tree,
or you look at a leaf, or the next time you look at the birds of the air, or any animals, or perhaps cows out in the field, or maybe streams flowing, grass, the sky, remember that had God not spoken, none of this would exist. Let's pray.